In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The lesson for today's, the intention for today's Mass is for the repose of the soul of Teresa Scheza Burnaby, and for the most lost souls, on the anniversary of her death. The lesson for today's Mass comes from the prophet Isaiah. Arise and be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist over the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and the kings in their brightness of thy rising shall lift up thine eyes round about and see. All of these are gathered together. They are come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall rise up at thy side. Then shalt thou see and abound, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged, when the multitude of the sea shall be covered, converted to thee, and the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and they shall come from Saba, and bringing thee gold, frankincense, and showing thee forth praise unto the Lord. This concludes the lesson from the prophet Isaiah. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to adore him. And King Herod, hearing this, was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ should be born. But they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, that thou art Bethlehem, land of Judah. Thou art not the least, thou art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth thy captain, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, privately calling the wise men, learned diligently of them the time of the star when it had appeared to them. And sending them into Bethlehem, he said, Go and diligently inquire after the child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may also come and adore him. Who, having heard the king, went out their way, and behold, the star, which they had seen from the east, went before them, until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And seeing the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And entering into the house, they found the child with Mary his mother. This is when we genuflect. And falling down, they adored him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having received an answer and sleep, they should not return to Herod. And they went back by another way to their own country. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. You may be seated. Today we celebrate once again this great feast of the Epiphany, on the actual day of the Epiphany. And because we're celebrating it more solemnly, we'll be a little bit more more succinct in the preaching at this time. So just to point out a couple of things to you here that occur on this day, occur to me in this reading. One thing is that with the Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate four feasts. The word Epiphany means a sudden realization of a great truth, or Epiphany is a manifestation, a showing forth of something that was hidden, or that was hidden in some sort of way. And so that's what we have here. The Feast of the Epiphany is really the feast of four feasts that have been jammed together and have been parsed out individually at various times. And so what are the four feasts of the Epiphany? This is the 12th day of Christmas. And so the Feast of the Epiphany, it hearkens toward those four feasts. The first manifestation is the Nativity. The second manifestation is the visit of the shepherds. The third manifestation is the visit of the Magi, and the fourth manifestation is, I think I did that wrong, the visitation of the Magi. The third manifestation is the baptism of the Lord, and the fourth manifestation is the manifestation of, what is it? Of the water and wine. The water and wine. Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a moment. probably because I got something in my throat and I don't know what that is. So there we have those four manifestations there. I'll say them again again so that you hear them more clearly instead of me just struggling for them. The first manifestation is the nativity, which is paired with the visitation of the shepherds. That's where I got the two confused right there. The second is because it happened on the same night. The second one is the visit of the Magi, which happened a time later when he was in the house, which we have our readings from today. The third manifestation is the baptism of the Lord, which we'll celebrate in the Novus Ordo here this upcoming Sunday. And the fourth manifestation is the wedding feast at Cana, where the conversion of the water and the wine there. Those are the four manifestations there. And what do these three, what does this quadruple feast, as it were, show for us? Well, it reminds us of the manifestations of Christ, who he is, who he is. So the first manifestation that we have there is the nativity where the shepherds came and adored him right there. And so when the shepherds come and adore him right there, there he's being manifested in the flesh. So Christ has been come and shown to the world in the flesh. I always find it a little bit strange that we don't somehow bring in the other manifestation, which is my favorite nativity, my favorite manifestation of Christ, the incarnation, which is the annunciation at his birth. That's the invisible incarnation, the hidden incarnation in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she alone got to know the fullness thereof, and others had to only guess at it there afterwards, or trust in faith, where she knew for certitude that he was there. The second is that at the Magi, when they came, which you see here within our readings today, that is our Lord manifested not only in the flesh, but he's manifested to all people, which is what the Magi represent, those who are not just the Jewish people, not just those who are the chosen people, as we talked about at the end of the sermon this Sunday, but to all people. The third manifestation is his baptism. That's where he's manifested as the Son of God. So that's when he's manifested as the Son of God. So everybody in the rest of the world knows that he's totally different, that God says, remember, the sky is opened up, and he says, this is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased. And so he's manifested in that way by the voice, God calling him out there and declaring it before everybody that he, who he has always been. And the third, fourth manifestation is that of the conversion of the water and wine, and that's in the miraculous signs that he does. And so he's manifested in that mystery as God in that way. And so those are the four ways in which he is manifested, and what this feast is really seeking to drive us to understand that God is who he is in the second person of the Trinity, in Jesus Christ, who has come to save us here. He is first manifested as in the flesh, and then to the chosen people, and then manifested as well to those who are the people of the world. The second is that he's called clearly as the Son of God, and everybody can see this theophany which is there. And then the fourth way is that he's manifested not just as the Son of God, but he's manifested as God himself, because he performs this, the first of all his signs, the first of all his miracles that reveal him to be divine in his very nature as well. And so these are the things that we go through during this time. Now, it says here within the scriptures something that is interesting, is it says that he is mourned by all people. You caught that in the gospel that we had here today. Herod says here, he realizes that there's a new king going to be born, and it says all of Herod was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed with him. Now, do you believe that all of Jerusalem was disturbed, that the Messiah was going to come? No, you read it from all throughout the gospels, that it says they were all desiring that he would be manifested. If you look even in the literature that immediately precedes the coming of Christ for hundreds and hundreds of years, they're saying, is this the time? Is this the one? You read in the book of Maccabees, they're expecting that there will come a salvation to the people of Israel, that he will come, that God will come and save and rescue his people. They're expecting all these things. The whole purpose of the people of where John the Baptist was, where he lived in Ein Karim up there in Israel, all those people there were there for a particular purpose, because they said the Messiah is going to come, and we expect him to come really soon. So it wasn't that all of Israel or that all of Jerusalem was. It was only a select group of elite persons who said, oh no, if there's a new king who comes, if there's this Messiah who comes here, that's going to mess up our situation. We got it really, really good. Herod says, my kingdom is going to be taken from me in this way if there's another one who's going to claim to it, so I have to root him out. Kind of similar to something else that a secular world is experiencing today and wanting to celebrate, to say that the whole of the United States is in a place of mourning. And so we're celebrating some secular evil that happened a year ago today. They want to draw attention to that, to make it seem as though the whole of the United States is in distress over this. But really, few people in the United States care as to what's going on. It's only a certain cadre of elites who are doing that. So that's a side note mapping onto today as well. What else do we see within the gospel today? We see something of a desire here to, we see within our liturgy Something that I noticed today that I really hadn't noticed before is that we hear the word adore twice within the gospel, right? Hear the word adore twice within the gospel. Once it's spoken by the mouth of Herod, and the other, it's acted upon by the Magi when they finally come to the place where Christ is, where they go and adore him and bear forth his gifts. Do you see that we have the word adore twice, but we only genuflect once? Did you notice that? We hear the word adore twice, and we only genuflect once. Why is that? It's because, one, Herod doesn't want to adore. He doesn't care about adoration. He's not interested in God himself. He's not interested in the coming of this Christ. Really, he wants to kill the Christ. And so we don't genuflect at that time. But we only genuflect when those who are sincere adorers of Christ go and lay themselves before. Here, Herod, the one who had the most reason to adore, because this is the one who was going to take the kingship away from him and establish one that's going to lead the people of Israel into great glory and a great triumph here. He doesn't want to. He gives false adoration. And so he doesn't actually ever get down on his knees before the king. But it is these three great rulers who come from afar, seeking him in great haste, wanting to give all of the best of what they are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ child who is here. Because of that, in honor of their true adoration, that's why we, even during this liturgy, centuries and centuries, millennia upon millennia later, here we adore, because they are the ones who truly adore. And so that's something for you and I to think about as well, to bring real and true adoration when we come before the Lord, to give him, here he is in our midst with the Christ child who is here, or you have the Christ child in the nativities which you still have placed within your homes, which you haven't taken down yet because it's still the 12th day of Christmas. And so to adore the Christ child there, to get down if you're able to do so on bended knee, or at least to go before him and to make that act of adoration who is there frequently throughout today. Not just here when you're in the church or when you go home immediately after this Mass because it's fresh on your mind right there, but even toward the end of your day to make that act of adoration to he who is the king and to go down with that profound act of reverence, at least internally, if even physically it's a little bit tough to be able to do so because of physical ailments or debility in that way. To make that act of adoration in that, rather than just to have it be a word which is spoken from your mouth that I wish to adore. We're Catholics, so we interact and we adore our Lord bodily, not just in a mental or spiritual way. So those are some lessons to be able to look at. One, to recognize the four manifestations that we're celebrating. First, that the shepherds and everybody came at the nativity on that day, and so that is the manifestation of him in the flesh. The second is that the Magi came and adored him, showing that it's not just for the chosen people, but for all people to come and adore him. The third would be at the baptism, when everybody hears clearly that he is the Son of God. And the fourth is to recognize this fourth manifestation, that he is not only the Son of God, but he is God himself, and God has come in power to change the whole way in which we interact with the world and with God himself, and the way in which he can have his mighty power interact within our own lives. To see there's a difference between adoration, as we spoke about there, a false adoration that does not get down on one's knees, and a true adoration, which does indeed manifest itself in a physical action of adoration as well. And also to see that sometimes when people want to make something a big deal, as it's a thing of mourning for us, that not all people feel the same way. Only oftentimes the elite mourn things which are not true evils, but rather it becomes a thing of salvation for others, as we see here within the gospel, awaiting the manifestation of the Lord, which we celebrate here in the Feast of the Epiphany. Thank you for coming to Mass. We're going to continue on. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.